we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Well, good Wednesday to you, Brevard County. We want to thank you for tuning in to the Refresh Radio program. My name is Bob Arthurs, and you are listening to the Refresh Radio program right here on WMIE 91.5 FM, 8:30 of a morning, 5 o'clock of an evening, WWBC 15, 10 a.m. at 10:30 of a morning. Tell all your friends. We got plenty of room here on the radio dial for more listeners, because in our society right now, where things are getting further and further away from biblical standards, we need to be elevating the standard of God's word. And so my job here on the radio is to bring you the word of truth in love, allow the Holy Spirit to have his way in your heart. But we need to remember that the word of God is settled forever in heaven and on earth. So we'll be talking about that more here in just a minute. I do want to take a moment to say thank you to the folks at Jits Concrete, 321-536-5804, 321-536-5804. If you need some help with concrete work or block work, call the people with decades of experience. Hardworking people will treat you well, do a great job at a fair price. And our brothers and sisters in Christ as well. I don't know about all of their workers, but I know about the people who own the company, and I see them regularly as they're coming to honor the Lord with their finances. And so if you are in need of block or concrete work, give them a call, 321-536-5804, 321-536-5804. There are a lot of things that I've done in my life. There are some that are absolutely memorable that I'm perfectly fine if I never do them again. Hauling hay is one of those. Throwing bales of hay up under the top of a barn in Oklahoma in 100-plus degree heat, that's right up there. Roofing, no thank you. I've been there, done that, and got that. And so with all of the roofs that have been damaged here in the past couple of years with the hurricanes that we've had, would you be praying for the roofers up there, not only that they would stay safe, but it is brutally, brutally hot up there. So you'll find that roofers get up early of a morning, get out there, and many times they're at it all day long. But pray for them. That's a job that I've done some, and I'm thankful that I got called to a different career path. Concrete work is another one of those. Road crews is another one. There are a lot of jobs that are out there that are really, really difficult and challenging and take a great deal of expertise. I was talking to Brother Anderson one day, and he said, yeah, I had to go to an apprenticeship training in order to get trained in this field of block and concrete work. And he has done a lot. He is still out there in great shape. Don't exactly know how old he is, but I know that he's not young. But he's still out there busting it. Greg is his son, and out there does it with him. And Greg is who you'll talk to if you call 321-536-5804. Tell him you heard about him on the Refresh Radio program, and they'll give you a quote. See if y'all can come together on a price and a time for the project, and they will get you up and running as quickly as possible. Tonight at church, we have an adult Bible study. One of the men in the church runs that Bible study Wednesday nights at 7. We have two or three girls' classes that will be meeting tonight at 7. We have a boys' class. That's the class that I teach. And that class also begins at 7 o'clock. It goes from 7 to 8. We don't keep you out late. We try to give you that midweek boost, that spiritual jumpstart to get you on track, keep you on track, and get you moving ahead, full steam ahead for the end of the week. So if you have an opportunity, we'd love to see you Wednesday night at 7 o'clock as we minister to the whole family. So back to Matthew chapter 5 today, Matthew chapter 5. We are talking about how in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus, through his ministry of fulfilling the law and the prophets, came to elevate our standards. On yesterday's broadcast, we talked about it's not just you don't get to commit murder, but you do not be get you are not entitled to be angry without a cause. This is on the same plane as that Ten Commandments, you shall not murder. Jesus says, you don't get to be angry with your brother without a cause. You don't get to go around saying you are worthless, you are contemptible, and I spit on you. You don't get to treat people with that sort of contempt. Jesus came to die for men to walk in the ultimate fulfillment of their purpose. And then it says you don't get to go around calling people you fool, because if you treat people like a fool, you're going to be the one in danger of hellfire, or the term there is Gehenna. That was where they burned their garbage in biblical times. It was a place where it was constantly on fire. People were constantly bringing their garbage there and burning it, and it was a place where the flame never went out while they were still using it for that purpose. So let's go back to verse number 23 today, and it says there, therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go your way. First be reconciled to your brother and then come and offer your gift. Agree with your adversary quickly while you are on the way with him, lest your adversary deliver you to the judge hand you over to the officer, and you be thrown into prison. Assuredly, I say to you, you will by no means get out of there till you have paid the last penny. What is being described here in this particular series of verses is where there is a financial offense between two brothers. And listen, please do not ever allow money to run your life. Please do not allow money to ever be that deciding factor that says, I'm going to choose money over a relationship with this person. There are a lot of people who have lost relationship with siblings over something like a family estate, where one person gets very greedy and tries to get an exorbitant share of the estate at the expense of their own brothers and sisters. That is basically what is being described here, is there's something there, and Jesus says, don't ignore that. And what he's saying is when you come to the altar was a place of worship. And he said, there's a place for our worship, and that is, we've got to have the right attitude. We've got to have the right relationship with our neighbors, with our siblings around us. We can't have a disconnect with the people here on earth and come and worship God in spirit and in truth. That's what Jesus is saying, is it's not supposed to happen that way. You don't get to say, we talked about this on last week's program, you don't get to say, I love God, but I hate my brother. You don't get to say that. The two mindsets are not congruent with one another. They're hostile to one another. One's light, one's darkness. And so here in this passage, he says, if you bring your gift to the altar, if you have come to worship, and when you get to the altar to worship, all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit reminds you, you know what? There is something amiss between you and your brother. And here they're offering a gift to God. In the meantime, they owe a debt to someone else. And God says, you got to get up from that place of altar. You've got to go deal with this so that you can come back to the altar and worship me with clean hands and a pure heart. You get to worship me with holiness. And so I'm gonna address this. I want to take you over to the 18th chapter of Matthew. Matthew chapter 18 and verse number 15. And it says, "Moreover, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he hears you, you have gained your brother. But if he will not hear you, take with you one or two more, that by the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he refuses to hear them, tell it to the church. But if he refuses even to hear the church, let him be to you like a heathen and a tax collector." And then let's go over to Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17. I have all sorts of electronic Bibles, but when I come in here to do the radio program, I like to I like to bring my actual physical Bible. Luke chapter 17, verse number 1. Then he said to the disciples, "It is impossible that no offense should come, but woe to him through whom they do come. It would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were thrown into the sea, and that he should offend one of these little ones. Take heed to yourselves. If your brother sins against you, rebuke him, and if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you seven times in a day, and seven times in a day returns to you, saying, 'I repent,' you shall forgive him." And I like this. "And the apostles said to the Lord, 'Increase our faith.'" That what we're talking about here is not easy. We live in a world where Jesus said it is impossible that there are not going to be offenses that take place. We live in a day and time right now where everybody is offended by something. There are some people that wake up, they went to bed offended at one thing, and tomorrow they're going to wake up and they're going to be offended at a different thing. They're offended all the time. And so how do we get to the place where Jesus wants us to be? And that is not ignoring his altar. That is not the message in Matthew chapter 5. It's not, don't come to the altar. It is, when you come to the altar, make sure that you have dealt with the things that you need to deal with so that your sacrifice will be pleasing and acceptable in the sight of God. I was sharing with our congregation here a couple of weeks ago that, Jesus in Luke chapter 16 calls it unrighteous mammon. What kind of spirit is empowering your money? Is it a spirit of unrighteousness, or is it the spirit of God? I want God empowering my money. I want my money to be blessed, not cursed. I want it to have a redemptive purpose, not a selfish purpose. And so the passages that I've read, they're Matthew chapter 5, verses 23 through 26. And then there's Matthew 18, verse 15, and Luke 17, 1 through 4, 1 through 5, something like that. And in order for us to accomplish this, we're going to have to do what the disciples said, and that is, God, increase our faith. Increase our faith so that we can bring faith to our relationships with one another. You and I need to be more quick to forgive than we are to be offended. And that's that requires faith. That requires faith. So in Matthew chapter 5, it says that if you bring your gift to the altar and then remember that your brother has something against you. In other words, there's a dealing that you had. You are the one that is at fault. You need to get up and go to your brother. In Matthew chapter 18, it talks about a brother who has offended you. And in that case, you are supposed to get up and go to your brother. The biblical model for dealing with offense is this: whether you are the offended or the offending. You are supposed to be the initiator of the action. And if the Holy Spirit is working in your life, he will also be working in the other person's life. And the ideal is that both of you meet on the way, and you would almost like jinx, poke, owe me a Coke. You'd simultaneously say, you know, I was just on my way to meet you to talk about this situation. See, the Holy Spirit deals with both the offended and the offending parties, because he wants us to get along with one another. We are supposed to be operating like a symphony, not a cacophony. We're supposed to be making beautiful melodies to the Lord together instead of competing with two contrasting times and two contrasting keys and all of that sort of stuff. We're supposed to be working together, not apart. There is a blessing, a commanded blessing in Psalm 133 for where there is unity. And it is not just that we are supposed to go. Now let me tell you this. There, several years ago, God gave me a formula. I'm not a great big formula guy, but he gave me a formula for reconciliation. And that is, where there is offense, the offending party needs to repent. And when the offending party repents, they do so independently of what the offended does. Listen, right now in our day and time, there's the paradigm is that if you're offended, you never get over it. God says you need to forgive and move on. Okay? So repentance is independent of whether the other person forgives. My job, if I've been the offended party, is to forgive whether or not they repent. It's an independent act. It's a silo act. But when there's been repentance and there's been forgiveness, then there can be reconciliation. That's what God's ultimate plan for relationships is. And so it says here, leave your gift there before the altar. In other words, you're not taking your gift away from God to go pay your debt. What you're going to do is say, you know what? You stay right here. I'm going to go deal with my relationship with my brother, and I'm going to come back and I'm going to offer this gift unto God with clean hands and a pure heart. So verse number 24, first be reconciled to your brother and then come offer your gift. Verse number 25, agree with your adversary quickly. Okay. We talked about anger on yesterday's program. The scripture actually says, be angry, do not let the sun, or let me, be angry and sin not. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath. Okay? There are modern philosophers and sociologists that are now trying to say that there's no long-term effects. Listen, even if there were no long-term physical effects, I believe that there are to living angry, living hostile all the time. I believe there's some serious physical things that happen because of that, but there are spiritual dynamics at work as well. And just because a person says, you know, well, I know a person that they lived with a grudge for 40 years and it didn't really have any negative effects upon them, they're only dealing with one aspect of that. You and I, we need to be looking at it from the spiritual perspective as well. He says, deal with it quickly. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Don't let it fester. Here's what happens with offense when we refuse to deal with it. And that is, it begins to take root in our life and it causes bitterness, and bitterness will disqualify you from ministry. I remember back in the 1990s, I was having a prayer time with God, and I said, God, I don't want to be an angry old person. And you know what God said? Then don't be an angry young person. Start now. Make sure that you plow the field. I was mowing my lawn here a couple of weeks ago, and I mow my grass, I do weed eating, and I kept finding these sand spurs whenever I would get done, and I was really a little mystified because I didn't have any sand spurs that were growing in my yard. Well, on this particular day that I was mowing, I went by a planter that I have, and when I brushed up against that planter, one of those sand spurs reached out and grabbed me, and I found out that I had sand spurs that were growing out of this planter because I don't have any produce growing out of it right now. And I tell you what I did. When that sand spur reached up and bit me, I shut off my mower and I started dealing with the sand spurs. I started making sure not only that they were uprooted, but that their seeds did not have a chance to get to the soil and perpetuate the problem. You and I, we need to deal with things quickly, because Jesus goes on to say, if you don't deal with your adversary quickly, they may take the offense of which you are guilty and they may elevate it. And in those days, if you did not pay your debt, they sent you to debtor's prison. Okay? It is a relatively new thing for people to have horrific amounts of debt the way that we tend to here in modern society. And then if it gets overwhelming, you know, you people file bankruptcy and they start all over again. And here's the crazy thing that I've seen is that many times people, once they go and they declare bankruptcy, they start digging, you know, and that hole gets filled in. Many times they go out there and they start digging the hole, a brand new hole, all over again, because they didn't learn anything from the last time. Well, in biblical times, if you owed a financial debt, if you didn't settle with the person you owed the money to, that person would go to the judge. The judge would find you guilty and they would throw you into prison. And the person there in verse number 26, it says, assuredly, I say to you, you will by no means get out of there till you have paid the last penny. Now, I will tell you this, when it comes to spiritual matters, we owed God a huge debt. We are the offending party. And if he had delivered us over to imprisonment, spiritual imprisonment, banishment, exile from his presence forever until we could pay the debt we owed, we would never get out, because as the old chorus says, I owed a debt I couldn't pay. But he paid a debt he didn't know. Jesus came to satisfy our indebtedness. And so if you don't owe anybody anything, congratulations, God bless you. But if you haven't dealt with the spiritual dynamic yet, I can tell you that you are you're in spiritual captivity already, and you need to come to Jesus today and say, how can we resolve this debt? And he said, if you will allow me to, I will cancel your debt. If you will allow me to be your Savior and the Lord of your life, I will empower you to live the life you were always meant to live. There are too many people in our society right now, they're trying to wait until the very last minute. When I was a teenager, I was talking to a person about the reality that Jesus Christ is coming again. I can tell you this, that was in 1980-ish, somewhere in there. And I can tell you, Jesus' return is closer now than it was in 1980. The person at that point in time said, well, why don't you tell me before Jesus comes, and then right before he comes, then I'm going to get my heart right, and then I'll be ready for his return. The mindset, the thought process was that there's more fun to be had living for the devil and his purpose for your life than there is for living for God with his purpose and provision in your life. And nothing could be further from the truth. The ideal is not to wait as long as possible. The ideal is to deal with the offense as early as possible. And so every Sunday, or pretty much every Sunday, our kids from Children's Church start out in praise and worship with us in the sanctuary. And we sing a praise and worship song that the kids are going to be able to be a part of as well. And then we pray a blessing over those kids and the children's ministry team as they head off to Children's Church. And the blessing that I pray over them is this: God, I pray that you would captivate them by your grace. I don't pray this every week, but I pray that you would captivate them by your grace so that these boys and girls will never remember a time when Jesus wasn't the Lord of their life. Speak to them. Empower them. God, I pray that they would deal with their relationship with you very early in life so that they can go back to the altar and worship you the way you meant to be worshiped, in spirit and in truth, with clean hands and a pure heart. Most of us have probably blown it on this in this area at one point in time or another. Up until this time, they were just looking for people to come to the altar and worship. Jesus said, I'm going to raise the standard. That's what we're going to do here. The Sermon on the Mount is about raising the standard, and that is this: when you come to worship me, I want things to be right between you and the people around you. Not everybody is going to respond to you. When you go to them, not everybody is going to respond. Matthew 18 talks about that. And if you've gone and you've done your part, you just continue to pray. You just continue to pray and say, God, I pray that you would bless that person with a spirit of repentance. I'm willing to forgive, but God, they need to repent. And say, God, I want you to captivate them by your grace. I want them to know you in your goodness the way that I do. God bless you. Have a great day of worship. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.